St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and a report came to him that he was wasting all of his possessions. So the manager called him and said, 'What is this I'm hearing about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you can no longer be my manager.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What am I going to do now that I'm being dismissed as manager? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm too ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that I can be welcomed into people's homes once I'm dismissed.' And then he went out. And one by one, he called his master's debtors and he asked them what they owed. To one he said, 'How much do you owe?' And the man replied, 100 measures of oil. The manager said to him, 'Quick, sit down and make it 50. To another he said, 'How much do you owe?' 100 measures of wheat. He said, 'Quick, make it 80. And when his master found out about it, he commended his manager for being shrewd. For the people of this age are more shrewd than the sons of light. Jesus said, I tell you, you should go out and make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when that wealth fails, they may welcome you into eternal dwellings. Truly I tell you, if you are honest in a little, you will be honest in much. And if you are dishonest in a little, you will be dishonest in much. If you have not been honest with what doesn't belong to you, who's going to trust you with the things that do? Truly I tell you, you cannot serve both God and wealth." This is the gospel of the Lord. I love the puzzled looks on your faces. It's awesome. We're pleased this morning to welcome Lori Hansen, who's going to have a special sermon time for the children out in the pink chairs. She's going to explain this fabulous little tale to you. You are with a story from the Spark Bible called Two Masters and a children's book called Joseph and the Sabbath Fish. Yeah. I need my actors. I have actors. I put a thing for you back there too. It's blue. You'll recognize it right away. I think this parable deserves another telling. So as soon as these guys are in place, we'll let it rip. So once there was a really rich dude. Wave so they know who you are. Really rich dude. Yeah, super, super, super rich dude. And he had a manager. And a report came that the manager was wasting all of the rich dude's stuff. Well, all that guy had ever done was manage, and he didn't know what he was going to do now that he was being dismissed, so he started to think to himself,
"What am I going to do? You know, I'm not strong enough to dig ditches or do construction, any of that kind of stuff. I really don't want to beg. I mean, one of those people on the street corner with holding a sign, no thanks. I'm no good at computers. I know what I'll do. I'll go to the people that owe my master money, and I'll figure out a way to have them welcome me into their arms since I'm fired." Are you going to tell me what
to
do?
Oh, yeah. So then he went in search of the debtors, and one by one he went to them.
So, how much do you owe my master?
And Alex, you have to stand back so everybody can see this. You get to see how much that Catherine owes here. Yeah. Great.
Let's see what we can do about that. Let's take some zeros away. There, that's how much you owe my master now.
Fantastic.
So, how much do you owe my master? Oh my gosh, can you see that? That's way too many zeros. Let's see what we can do. Let's do that. There you go. That, on behalf of my master, I grant you that reduction in your loan.
So then you have to go on your way.
I'm walking. Okay.
You're out, really out of the way. Come back here by me or something. Yeah. Okay, so then, the rich guy came and he happened upon his debtors after this little trick of his manager who'd been ousted. They have to get their props. I should say something clever while they're getting their props, but I've got nothing, so. All right. Ready? Okay, good. Man, you don't act very happy for somebody who just had two zeros removed from their debts. All right.
Me?
So, just when the disciples, by the way, have been walking all over the countryside with Jesus. And just when they think they're starting to understand what he's up to, he pulls out this disturbing little tale. And if the tale itself isn't disturbing enough, he tells us that we should be like that guy. Are you disturbed? I saw the puzzled looks when I was telling the story. Like, this is a really disturbing tale because this guy is dishonest right from the start of the story, right? He's been wasting all of the master's resources. That's disturbing. But then when the master finds out about it, he tells him he's shrewd and he praises him. That's disturbing too, yes? Or should I say no? Hey, that's disturbing too, eh? But not only is this guy a thief, when he finds out he loses his job, he goes and wastes more of the master's money and gets praised. We're supposed to be like that. If that's not disturbing enough, at the end of the tale, Jesus tells the disciples, go make friends with whatever you've got. Be like that guy. Got money? Go use it to make friends. Are you cunning, shrewd? Go make friends. Thanks, dishonest guy. I'm disturbed. Are you disturbed? Here's the thing. This parable is not only disturbing for us. It was disturbing for everyone in Jesus' day too. It was disturbing especially for the religious leaders and the people who were following all the rules. Because here's this guy, Jesus, running around doing all sorts of things that are disturbing. And by the way, this parable is completely in keeping with Luke's gospel because Luke's gospel is filled with disturbing things that Jesus does. For example, Jesus is going out into the countryside and he's healing lepers. He's laying his hands on people who have oozing sores. He is going out and he's talking to people who are in trees. And he's telling them, come down because I want to eat in your house. He's hanging out with women on the street, talking to them, healing them. He's going into the homes of tax collectors and sinners and having meals with them. The whole gospel of Luke is disturbing. And right at the center of it is this little gem. But actually, I don't think we should be disturbed at all. Because this parable is actually about what Jesus himself is doing. See, Jesus has all the riches of the kingdom at his disposal. He's seated at the right hand of the God of the universe who, by the way, is the richest one of all, the master of everything, to whom everything belongs. And God has entrusted everything that God has to Jesus and sent him out to do ministry. And Jesus is giving away the goods. I mean, shouldn't people have to earn what they get? Don't you have to be deserving of grace? Don't you have to be good to your neighbors for God to like you and want you to be on his team? Not according to Jesus, because Jesus heads out in the world with grace, mercy, love, peace, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, joy, hopefulness, and just gives it away to anybody. That's what he did for me. Didn't he do that for you too? Did you deserve what God gave you? I need my actors again, and I need 4 more volunteers, if you will. If you can just come and stand right here. Here's one for you, love. Here's one for you. I need 4 more people. Here comes Isaac and Wendy. Here's Greg. Just don't let anybody see this yet. Okay, that's good. Here's one for you. Just don't let anybody see that yet. Hold that kind of towards yourself, right? Okay, so Jesus comes down into God's world, and he finds people that are filled with this stuff. Go ahead. Show everybody what you got. Right? Finds people that are like that. I hope you see yourself. What happened to my bin here? So I hope you see yourself in one of these things. If not, you can kind of see what your own thing is, right? And rather than saying, hey, would you clean up your act, and then I'll hang around with you and give you some grace, Jesus kind of comes and says, let's see what we can do about that. Let's remove some of these zeros. So much so that Jesus hardly remembers what it is that we were offering the world, and rather sees us kind of like a blank slate. And people really don't like that. Not in Jesus' day and not in our day. We want the right people to get rewarded. You know, the good ones who are working for other people, the ones who are giving their lives away, the ones who deserve it. But Jesus comes and says, no, I don't like that you're in a tree. I want to come and eat with you. I know you think you're not good enough, but I want to be friends with you. I know you think you owe a lot. You don't owe nothing. And you don't know nothing either. Well, it kind of sounded like that, right? You don't owe nothing and you don't know nothing. See, Jesus is always going out of his way to find us right where we are, just as we are, and to throw on us all of the riches of the master. It ain't right. It ain't fair. But it's God's way. And Jesus says, you know what? More than that, I think you're going to need this. You're going to need this. You're going to need this. I don't think I have enough of these for everybody, but yeah, we'll see. You're going to need this. Come and follow me. May God's grace and peace be yours. God's mission and ministry, God's hopefulness and joy and grace. May you know yourself worthy today and every day. In the name of the God who disturbs us in all sorts of ways. Amen. Isaac has a job. He's running back over there. One of the problems we have with being forgiven and called is that we don't think we deserve it. And so together with the whole Church of God, I invite you to stand as we can, as not as we confess our faith, as we confess our sins. Please stand.
Turning us from our sin to live for you alone.